Thanks. It's great to see all of you here on our campus. I want to welcome everybody joining us online as well. And it's fun Christmas season. Excited to continue this teaching series. Excited to share the message with you here in a few minutes. But first, let me give you a little update. We have been in a search for our next worship pastor for about a year now. And about a month ago, we had a guest worship pastor here on our campus leading us that weekend named Caleb Hunt. He was here leading with our team. He and his wife, Haley, were here for the entire weekend. We've been spending the previous several months kind of getting to know them. He was worship pastor at a church down in the greater Orlando area. And over the last several months, and then obviously with him being here that weekend, as we've been praying and seeking the Lord on all of this, the Lord has led all of us to the same conclusion that Caleb is, in fact, our next worship pastor. And he's going to be joining our team in January. So I think it's something we want to celebrate. And so we asked him this week, hey man, would you mind just introducing yourself briefly to our New Hope family and our worship services? And so he was kind and generous enough to do that. So take a look at this video.
New Hope, hey, it's so good to meet you. I'm so excited to be able to introduce myself. My name is Caleb, and my wife and I, we currently live here in Lakeland, Florida. But we've been watching New Hope online for probably the last few months. And so there's a piece of us that already feels like we're kind of in the thick of this thing with you. We feel like we're a part of the New Hope family. And I remember how incredible the Revelation series was. That's when we started watching, all the way until the initiatives that got released this last Sunday. And man, can I just tell you that I feel like God has something incredible on this house. There's just something so pure and something so beautiful about what he's doing here. And man, if you remember, I had the opportunity to be able to come up and spend a weekend with you guys. And Haley and I both could just talk for days about how kind and generous and compassionate your board is, your leadership with Pastor Adam and Morgan and Nick and your whole staff. And how about your worship team? Come on, can we just give it up and show some love for the worship team this morning? I mean, if you've been here for 10 minutes, then you know you guys have such an incredibly talented team. But the thing that stuck out to me the entire time that we were here, from every conversation that we've had, is just how pure-hearted everybody is and just the hunger that people have to see God move and do incredible things in and through your church and in their lives. And I just want you to know, I am incredibly excited to be a part of it. I really believe that the next season for New Hope is going to be one of the most spirit-filled, incredible seasons that we've ever seen. And I'm excited to be able to play a small piece in such a big thing. And so I can't wait to meet you. I can't wait to get to know you and just build relationships. And I can't wait to see what God does in and through our church in the days that lie ahead. And so I look forward to seeing you, and I can't wait to be with you guys. God bless you, and I'll see you soon.
You guys are going to love getting to know Caleb and Haley, and God's going to use them in great ways. So he'll be starting here about the middle of January, and we will look forward to that. Now, grab your message notes. We got a lot to cover today. The title of our message is 7 Ways to Wait Well. We're in this teaching series called Worth the Wait. Waiting is a big part of the Christmas story. Sometimes it's easy to forget that from the end of the Old Testament to the start of the New Testament, there was literally 400 years of silence, where God didn't have a prophet, where people were wondering if God was still up to seeing through his full plan of redemption. And so if you've ever had to wait in a season of your life, or if you are currently waiting in a season, in an area of your life, I'm hopeful that today's message will be encouraging to you, and I hope that it will be practical for you as well. But before I get to the points, let me just kind of lay a quick little foundation. I didn't put this in the notes, but it'll kind of get us all set and on the same page before we get to the points. First of all, we will all go through seasons of waiting in our lives. Just good to say that out loud. If you're not in a season of waiting right now, just... I worked on that all week, y'all, so I appreciate you helping me out there. I think it's good to say that, because what it can feel like sometimes is, if other people are getting their prayers answered, everything's going well, you're waiting, maybe you're not doing this right, maybe you're not godly enough, maybe you missed out on that class. And what I want us to do is normalize waiting. It's a part of our life, walking with the Lord. We're going to go through these seasons of waiting. Next thing I think it's important for us to see, sometimes They result from choices we have made. You may be in a season of waiting, and in that season, you may realize, wait a second, I contributed something to this. There were some choices I made that landed me here. If that's the case, I would encourage you, you know, don't beat yourself up, cut yourself a little slack, give yourself a little bit of grace. That's part of learning, recognizing, all right, maybe there's some things I'll do differently next time. But then I also think it's important for us to see that sometimes these seasons of waiting result from choices that others have made. And if that's your story, my heart goes out to you. I mean, maybe someone put you in a season of waiting. Maybe your spouse walked out of the marriage and you wanted to stay in the marriage. And now you're in this season that you did not choose. And I hope that you see how God can meet you in that season, even if it's not something that you desired, or maybe it was even something caused by another person. Either way, I think this is helpful for us to see. There are choices you can make to wait well. Here's the trap we can fall into. When we're in a season of waiting, we get caught up in how we got here. We focus on the steps that landed us here, the people that contributed to it. And at some point, I think it's helpful to just pull back and go, whether it's because of what I did or whether it's because of what somebody else did or whether it's just, there's really no explanation for it. Here I am in a season of waiting. And in reality, today really is the first day of the rest of my life. And from this point forward, I can't change anything about the past. As the great prophet Rafiki said, it's in the past, okay? We need to listen to that great theologian. It's in the past, all right? But now moving forward, hopefully some choices I make will allow God to do something with this season of waiting. So before we get to the points, just in this room right now, just for a moment, are you in a season of waiting? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to admit it out loud, but are you in a season of waiting? Any area of your life? Could be relationships, finances, your physical health, your spiritual health, your emotional health, career, a number of different areas. Have you recently come out of a season of waiting? Maybe God has a season of waiting for you on the horizon. These are seven really commitments that if we'll make, they will allow us to wait well. And with each of these commitments, I've given you a verse. And I think these verses are really short, and I would challenge you to memorize some of them. All seven of these points may not hit you the same way, but if one does, memorize the verse. Here's the key to memorizing Bible verses. Choose short verses, all right? So I'm trying to help you out. These are some short verses, but when you're walking through it and your mind starts to go some places with your thoughts that it would be better for it not to go, it's good to have verses to come back to that you can ground your heart, ground your mind in. All right, so let's look at these ways. First way that we can wait well. Just make this choice. My waiting will not determine my worship. My waiting's not gonna determine my worship. In other words, I'm not gonna worship based on how my circumstances are going. I'm gonna worship. Good times, bad times, clarity, confusion, I will choose to worship. Look at this verse from Psalms. We're gonna be in the book of Psalms quite a bit today. Chapter 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that word continually doesn't mean that you're literally just walking around singing at all times. It's a spirit of, it's the attitude of, it's the first place your mind goes. That when you're walking through a season of waiting, you'll keep praising, you'll keep worshiping. And when you're in a season of waiting, here's a really good commitment to make. Worship as if it's already happened. Just worship as if it's already happened. Just go ahead and think, God, I'm just gonna go ahead and claim that's gonna happen. I'm gonna choose to worship you regardless. One of my mentors, Dr. Ike Reichard, he said this to me years ago, and it's always stuck with me. He said, when you're walking through a season of waiting, it'll test your worship, because what you have to begin to ask yourself is, am I worshiping God for what he gives, or am I worshiping God simply for who he is? It's a big difference. Should we worship God and praise him and thank him when he gives us good things? Of course. But what do you do when that's not happening? Do we worship God just simply for who he is? And oftentimes in a season of waiting, the gift is that we can reconnect with God at a heart level simply because of who he is. And when you're walking through that, just go ahead and determine, I'm not gonna let my waiting determine how I will worship. Maybe a second commitment, if we wanna wait well, my waiting will not determine my joy. It's not gonna determine my joy. Happiness is a result of our circumstances. Joy, biblically speaking, is a result of the salvation that we've experienced. When you experience salvation, God changes you from the inside out. You literally become a new person. Joy comes from salvation. That's why in God's word, we see verses like, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. That we have to come back to a compass, something that guides us beyond our circumstances, which is our joy. Now look at this passage. I think this is interesting how it connects waiting and joy. Again, back to the book of Psalms, chapter 33. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. So while we're waiting in hope for the Lord, we will keep rejoicing. Here's the bottom line. It's a truth that sometimes can be hard to accept. Joy, it's a choice. It's a choice. You got to choose joy. And it's not a one-time choice. It's a choice you have to make every single day. You can literally simultaneously be waiting for God to move on your behalf while still choosing joy. Don't let your season of waiting rob you from the joy of your salvation. Third way, if you want to wait well. Again, these are commitments. My waiting will not determine my contentment. Now this one, I don't know who put this one in the notes because I don't like it one bit. I'm just going to tell you right now, all right? Even though I put it in the notes, I don't like it one bit because it's counterintuitive. The whole idea of waiting is that there's something that's not here, or I wouldn't be waiting. I'm real smart, y'all. Okay, that's how that works, okay? So how am I supposed to be content when there's something that I'm longing, something I'm seeking for? And so because of that, isn't it impossible to be content while still seeking something? And this is where the enemy really finds a foothold and gets into our thoughts and gets into our mind. And so we have to pull back for a second and say, no, I'm not gonna let my contentment be determined by waiting. So look at Lamentations 3:25. Again, a good verse for us to dwell upon. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. I like that. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Some of y'all thought the Lord was only good to those who obeyed all of his commandments. Some of y'all thought the Lord was only good to those who did things the right way. Isn't it good to know we have a God who's good to us when we wait on him? That encourages my heart. To the soul who seeks him. So how does this work? If there's something I need, if there's something I want, I'm asking God and you should. So let's just kind of leave this point, set it aside for a second. If there's a desire in your heart, if you want something, here's what I would encourage you to do. Tell God. He's not gonna be surprised. You're not gonna catch him off guard. He's not gonna look at the angel Gabriel and go, can you believe that? I've never heard of such. It's not gonna happen, okay? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? Let that one set in for a second, okay? You're not gonna catch him off guard. So if something's in your heart and you desire it, go ahead and verbalize it. Go ahead and tell God. Now, if it's not the right desire, if it's not something you need in your life, he'll show that to you in time. You'll figure that out. But you're seeking God. You're longing for God. You want to make sure that you remain content. And so this verse is such good guidance because here's what it says. He's good to those who wait. Here's the truth. Whatever it is that you're waiting for today, can I tell you something that's true about your life? Even if I don't know all the details of your life, here's what's true. God's been good to you. God has been good to you. Say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because God's word says every good thing comes from above. God has been good to you. How many areas of your life has God blessed you? How many of you are walking right now in a season of answered prayers that you prayed in the past? God's been good to you. How many of you are in a marriage right now that some days may not feel good, but God's been good to you? You prayed for a spouse. God gave you one. And you focus on the things you don't like about your spouse. Back off for a second and say, God's been good to me. Bless me with a spouse. How many of you, God's blessed you with children? God's word says children are a blessing from the Lord. Now, I know they may not always feel like a blessing from the Lord, okay? They're a blessing from the Lord. Instead of focusing on the things that your kids do to annoy you or all the busyness of your life, pull back for a second, look at those beautiful children and say, God has been good to me. God has been good to me. Compared to the 7 billion people that live on this planet, if you're in this room right now, God's been good to you. If you got running water and electricity, God has been good to you. Don't focus on what you don't have. Be grateful for what you do have. And that's how you keep these seasons from robbing your contentment, all right? Let's keep going. What's the next commitment we can make if we want to wait well? My waiting will not determine my attitude. So y'all only have to hear this once. The Lord's been dealing with me all week about this, all right? It won't determine my attitude. So here's the picture. You walk into a room, can people tell whether God's been answering your prayers or not? You walk into a room, can people tell if you've had a good night's sleep or not? You walk into a room, do you immediately bring energy or suck energy from the room? See, we're all doing one of two things, right? We're either walking into a room acting like Tigger or walking into a room acting like Eeyore. End of the day, that's how this works, all right? What's your attitude? What's the general disposition of your heart? What's the you that people experience when they experience you? And if we're not careful, the seasons of waiting can rob us from opportunities to influence people for the gospel message simply because we got a bad attitude. And people are like, I don't really want to have anything to do with that bad attitude. So let's look at God's word. I think it's helpful. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. If you're in a season of waiting, you better set your mind on things above, because if you fix your eyes on what's going on, your circumstances, it will affect your attitude. Your attitude is going to show up, and whatever your heart's been dwelling upon, whatever your mind has been dwelling upon, what is your overall disposition? See, God's word tells us he can give us a peace that surpasses our own understanding. You know, you can be in a season of waiting and still be in a state of peace. I'm in a season of waiting, but I'm in a state of peace. I'm in a season of waiting, but my attitude is one of joy. My attitude is one of peace. My attitude is one of calm. I'm going to make sure that the enemy doesn't seize this opportunity to shift my focus on things that eventually will begin to make anxiety well up from within me. If you don't struggle with anxiety, those of us who do, we envy you. Do you know what encourages me about anxiety as someone who has struggled with anxiety most of my life? God's word assumes anxiety. It doesn't say that it's sinful. It just tells us what to do when we experience it. There's going to be anxiety that creeps into our life from time to time. And anxiety is kind of like that little light that's on your dashboard in your car, and it's flashing and it's letting you know there's something going on. And so when that starts to happen, you say, Lord, search my heart and know me. Lord, give me a peace that surpasses my own understanding. If you need to sit down with a Christian counselor and talk through some things, maybe even medication is something that can be helpful for you. But ultimately, what we do have to acknowledge is that our God wants us to walk through this life, not with everything worked out, not with all of our circumstances making sense, but he does want us to walk through this life at rest. Experiencing rest and peace at a soul level. And when we begin to anchor down into God's word and anchor into that relationship with him, can I tell you what begins to happen? It affects our attitude and everything else about us, regardless of the season we may be in, especially in a season of waiting. Let me give you the next commitment we can make when we're in these seasons of waiting. Just say, my waiting will not detract from my growth. This one's sneaky, because seasons of waiting can rob you from seasons of growth if you're not careful. When you're in a season of waiting, it can feel like you're stuck. It can be easy to become idle. So maybe you've worked at it and you've worked at it and you've worked at it, any area of your life. It doesn't feel like it's going anywhere. And at some point, you're kind of ready to throw in the towel and just, I don't know why I'm putting forth the effort. Like, nothing's really happening. And the problem with that is you're super close to breakthrough. You just can't quite see it yet. So you've got to reestablish this is going to be a season of growth. In fact, jot this down somewhere. I think this is helpful. I think the Lord just kind of gave this to me for somebody in here, okay? Oftentimes, the purpose of the season of waiting is so that you can have a season of growth. That's the whole purpose. So many times as Christ followers, we're asking God, don't miss this, we're asking God for the right things. We're asking God the right way. We're asking things that are in accordance with God's will for our lives. Here's the only thing, we're just not ready yet for the answer. God knows more than we do. Here's what God often knows. If I answer your prayer that way, that answer will become a curse, not a blessing. Because you're not ready for it yet. There's some depth that needs to be built. There's some growth that needs to be experienced. There's some character that needs to be built. There's some fruit of the Spirit that continues to need to be cultivated. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. What if God knows that in order for you to step into the answer of the prayer you're praying, you actually need to cultivate a little more patience? Jesus. You know what that means? He's going to take you through a season of waiting. And in that season of waiting, if you will handle it well, he will cultivate that fruit, and the entire season will have such a great purpose when you look back on it one day. But if you're not waiting well, you'll just wait. And it won't be something that ultimately produces fruit. Now look at this verse. This is a verse that we've been talking a lot about in our home lately because it's simple, it's short, but it's pretty powerful. So we'll leave it up here for a second. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. We try to do a family devotion from time to time. It's challenging to do. We got two teenage boys. Everybody's kind of always going everywhere. It's hard for us to even eat together as a family at night, but we'll try to do it a few times a week. We don't get it every night or anything like that. It's not long. It's a little quick discussion. We came across this verse a few weeks ago, and it's really helpful. And the reason it's helpful, there's a lot of reasons. The first reason is because of the first two words, whatever happens. I mean, that's kind of all-inclusive, right? I mean, there's no escape clause. Like, whatever happens, anytime in your life, you better conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. Interesting. So what happens with the gospel? The gospel changes us from the inside out. You receive a new identity. Incredible. You move from death to life. If you've experienced salvation, if you've asked Jesus to come into your life and to be your personal Lord and Savior, your identity has been changed. Salvation is about a change of identity. Discipleship is about a change in behavior. That makes sense. From a new identity, from a new person, should flow in time through the power of the Holy Spirit, new behaviors. At the end of the day, all different behaviors are a result of spiritual growth in our lives. The Holy Spirit gets more of us. Sometimes we pray for more of the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes the Holy Spirit needs more of us. We need to yield our ways to the Holy Spirit. And this fruit begins to be produced in our lives. And we conduct ourselves in a manner. We continue to take the steps of spiritual growth. And oftentimes, the seasons of waiting are the optimal time for us to actually grow the most in any area of our life, right? Look, next commitment. It's kind of tied to the one we just talked about. But my waiting will not deter my progress. My waiting's not going to deter my progress. See how these work together? If you're growing, progress is occurring. If you're growing, progress is occurring. God doesn't measure progress the way that we measure progress. Now, if you're not growing, time's just passing. If you're not growing, there's just a lot of activity taking place. But don't ever mistake activity for progress. You can be super busy and not getting anywhere. God actually wants you to have progress in every area of your life. God doesn't want you to continue to go through the same mistakes over and over and over. He wants you to learn from them, grow, progress. Now, here's what's encouraging to me about being in a season of waiting, taking on this challenge to grow, acknowledging that progress can occur. Here's what's encouraging to me, and I've had to come back to this quite a few times over the years when I've been in seasons of waiting, right? Look at this verse. This is one of the best verses in the whole Bible, all right? I like them all, but this is one of my favorites, right? Isaiah 64, 4. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you. Look at this. Who acts on behalf of those who what? Who wait for him. Hey, church, we serve a God who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. There's no God like our God. He acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Here's what that means. While you're waiting on God, God is acting on your behalf. Think about that for a second. God is doing things that you couldn't do. There's doors you could never open. God can act on your behalf. There's conversations that need to take place. God can act on your behalf. God can do more in 10 seconds than you could do in 10 years. We serve a God who acts on our behalf. While you're waiting on God, never forget, there's a God who's acting on your behalf. And here's what that means. Progress is occurring. Amen. Whether you see it or not. Amen. Right now, there may be a conversation happening about you that's advancing your career. Maybe at a fun restaurant. They're eating pancakes. I don't know, all right? Maybe right now, a decision's being made that's going to influence you in a positive way. You don't even know about it. This is how God works. Our world has funny little words for things like this called a coincidence. And we say, not in our world. Because we serve a God who, while we wait, he acts on our behalf. He orchestrates circumstances. His sovereign hand guides things. He makes sure that people find each other at the right times. Conversations occur at the right times. I mean, only God can be the explanation for so many supernatural things that happen in our lives. Why? Because he's a God who acts on our behalf while we wait on him. And here's what that means. Progress is occurring in your season of waiting. In your season of waiting. Don't get stuck. God is moving forward into the future. He wants you to keep moving with him. Just because you're in a season of waiting doesn't mean you have to stop moving. You keep moving forward, keep growing, experience the progress that comes from this. And then finally, I think it's the biggest commitment. It's probably the hardest one to make in a season of waiting, where we just quite simply say, my waiting will not deter my faith. Some of you have been Christ followers for a long time. Some of you are new Christians. And so in a room this size, I have to be careful that this doesn't come across the wrong way or mean-spirited or judgmental or any of these things. I just want you to hear my heart, because I think sometimes there's just some things that need to be said as an encouragement, but maybe also just as a reminder. It's disheartening to me as a pastor over the years to have seen people who have just decided to give up on God because God didn't come through for them the way that they wanted him to. And the challenge with that is that there was a fallacy in the thinking to begin with. And that fallacy was simply this, that we actually know better than God. Because there will be a day, one day, when we're in our true home in heaven with God, we will look back at our time here on earth and it will all make sense. Everything will align. And we'll recognize that God's will is what all of us would have chosen had we had the same information on hand that God had. God's word tells us his ways are not our ways. When God is not acting on your behalf the way you're asking him to, when he's not answering the prayer the way that you would want him to, when it feels like he's not coming through for you, can I encourage you to not let that deter your faith? That you just come to a place in your life where you say, God, no matter what, I'll trust you. I'll trust you. God, if you never did anything for me again, I'll trust you. God, if you never blessed me again, the blessing of sending your son to take my place on the cross is enough for me. God, at this point in my life, you've done too much. I will keep moving forward by faith. Most of us were never taught what faith is. Most of us were never taught what faith is. Let me give you what God's word describes faith as. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. This is the definition of faith. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. And here's the definition of faith: assurance about what we do not see. That's faith. It's having the assurance of what we do not see. Most of what we think is faith is not faith at all. Here's what I mean. As long as you can see what God's up to, it is not faith, because you can see it. As long as it makes sense, it's not faith, because it makes sense. As long as you can trace God's hand, that's not faith. That's rejoicing. That's worshiping. You can see what God is up to. It's only when you can't see that you need the assurance that he's still moving. It's only when it doesn't make sense that faith is required. It's only when the answer didn't come the way you hoped for that faith is required. As long as you can see God, you're not walking by faith. But what happens when God says, I want to test you? It's been said, a faith that hasn't been tested can't be trusted. I know you see me stand up here every week and you think, yeah, you're pastor. I bet you and God, y'all just hang out and drink coffee and, you know, everything works out great. I've had to tell my wife in seasons of waiting, when she's come to me and said, what is God up to? I've had to look at my wife and say, I don't know. I don't know. When my children have said, what's gonna be the next step? And I've had to look at them and say, I don't know. Can I tell you that there have been significant times in our lives where it did not make sense, where betrayal has occurred, where people have done us wrong, where it didn't seem like God had our back. And the only thing we had was our faith in a good God who had been too good to us for too long for us to turn our back on him now. That we're just gonna keep moving forward by him. And you know what got us through those seasons? Not our incredible faith, but God's incredible people to walk with us. Church, you cannot do this on your own. You cannot go through a season of waiting, keep your faith, keep moving forward, assured of what you don't see. If you try to do it on your own, the enemy will take you out every single time. That's why God gave us the church. That's why God gave us one another. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what type of season of waiting you're in, but can I tell you, our God is a good God. He's a God that can be trusted. And if you'll just keep taking the next step forward in faith, he will walk with you. And guess what? His people will too. You're never alone. You're never alone. And this Christmas season is the one time of year, I think, where it hits the hardest. We talk about the joy of the season, and 'tis the season. And for many of us, this is the worst of seasons. It's a reminder of pain, of loss, of heartache, of what could be, of dreams that have died. And what I want you to hear this Christmas season is you're not alone. There's a God who loves you. There's a God who's calling you to move forward by faith. There's a God who's saying, open your eyes and look around. You're not alone. And for some of you, what it's gonna require is you to finally get to a point of just complete and full honesty. And stop playing the game. Just reach out and say, I could use a little help this season. I could use a little encouragement. I'm in a season right now where I'm not exactly sure what to do. That's why we have a prayer team available after every single service here on the floor and up in the balcony. You don't have to walk through this alone. God's people will walk with you through this, regardless of whatever season or whatever circumstance led you to this waiting. Would you bow your head to me so I can pray for you for a few minutes? Before we go into our time of response, God, it is hard to wait. It can feel very lonely. God, for the person who's here today, who's waiting on you, God, would you encourage their hearts? God, would you act on their behalf? God, would you open doors that have previously been closed? God, would you provide breakthrough where it's needed? But God, in the midst of that right now, would you remind us as your people that joy is a choice, that worship is a choice, that our attitude is a choice, that what we may think is the worst season of our life is actually the greatest opportunity for us to be a light. And God, may we not let the enemy rob us from that opportunity. God, thank you for your goodness. God, thank you for your faithfulness. God, for those of us who are in a season of waiting, we're gonna claim by faith that this too shall come to pass. And God, we'll be able to look back one day and see how you were at work. So God, as we enter now into this time of response and into this time of praise, may we just straight up bring it. May we recognize the only thing we can offer you is our worship. So God, thank you that you give us that opportunity to do that. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name, amen. Hey y'all, before we worship, can we just thank God for how good he is?